All right, we're going to get started, everyone. I'll call this meeting to order. Everyone can stand. We'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, ready? Begin.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. The board member roll call.
Gloria Alvarado. Chung Lee. John Luker.
Here.
Doug Mangione. Carlos Oregon.
Here.
Kathy Boyd. Shantina Sorrells. Gregory Scott. Sherry Hanlam. And Kingsland. And we do not have one.
All right, we do not have quorum. We have no action items, so we're going to go ahead and proceed. At this time, we have public comment. I just do want to comment that we're not going to be taking individual public comments as we go through the agenda. So if you have anything, now is the time to put in a request. Is there any request for public comment? Okay. Moving on, Francis here has a staff update that he wanted to give. So if you want to proceed with that.
Okay, so staff update. So our executive director, Don Lacey, submitted a resignation technically today. So her last day with the County of Orange, although she had personal time off scheduled for this week, so she's unavailable. In the interim, I'm Francis Bowden, the assistant director of the Orange County Workforce and Economic Development Division. I'll be the point of contact for daily operational needs. In the executive director role, for most of you is going to be Renee Ramirez, the OCCS director. And in addition to that, we also have some staffing coming in, joining our business service team, our business solutions team. We have Elizabeth Boyes now promoted to a manager on that team. Marianne Subnet just joined the team, so we're going to be definitely wrapping up some services there. And Keon Cooley joined our rapid response team. The great red team. Right, so this is paperwork. Sorry, that's what it's going to be. Other than that, what are the staff
updates? Note for the record that Doug. Step over there.
Oh, okay. I'll get my card.
All right. All right, we'll move on to the agenda then. We have a procurement update. That for us.
Good evening. So as far as our use service provider, we are in negotiations with them right now to extend that contract for the additional fiscal year. Once we have them under contract, we plan in July, August, and release an RFP to procure some our new service providers for the year following. We'd like to get ourselves in a situation where we have a couple different options too, so that way we have flexibility there. If our service provider is not meeting our expectations, that we can utilize a different one to change corrections. We'll also be releasing an RFP for the operator contract. So we'll be looking to identify who our one-stop operator will be moving forward after this next fiscal year. As far as some other procurements, we will be doing some procurements for special services as far as special populations. So hopefully this next year we'll be able to get a few different providers available to us. That way, if we have revenue streams coming down, we'll be able to contract.
Okay. Does that cover the cost of performance? Or?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Moving on to item number 6, program performance. Ready, set, OC. Q3.
Thank you. We'll take that.
Can you go to Q4? So this is our performance for our ISCO youth program. Up there, you have the expenditures for quarter 3, bringing us to a year to date of expenditures $285,973. Putting us at 38% of their funding spent. I know that last time we talked about just doing some high level review of dates. I wasn't going to go line by line. Is that still the case, or did you want me to go?
Well, I guess real quickly, last time we did this, Q3 was not actually Q3. It was Q, I guess, the previous quarters. So is year-to-date expenditures truly through March 23, or is it through, like, December 22?
It's any invoices paid up through that time, and currently on here it reflects invoices paid up through January 2023.
So missing 2 months.
Mm-hmm. We are currently reviewing that for you.
As the provider, do they feel like they're going to use the funds, or is it we're going to be under?
They're not going to completely spend 100% of the funding, but we are making progress. So we have invoices for about way much.
What do we typically trend for the?
I'm sorry.
What do we typically trend for
February, March?
Yeah.
Are they under review so that you have the invoices, or?
We have the invoices. We've received the invoices for February, March. I don't recall that information.
Maybe I can just touch on invoicing real quick too. We are looking to kind of improve our process with the invoicing. We're talking with our accounting team and also with our service provider to basically expedite the process. Our current practices with what we're accepting for fiscal documentation. It's problematic. There's a lot of delays there. That's why we get a lot of supplemental invoices and late invoices. We're looking to align what we accept with what the county's general practices are. So that way we can expedite these invoices. And so hopefully these reports in the future will be much more accurate and much more today.
Are you submitted through a portal or?
It's more so what we're accepting. So with payments, we're requiring them to send when payments are incurred. So that means a voided. A clear check, and sometimes checks aren't getting cleared for 60-70 days after the being issued, and so they can't submit it until they actually have that documentation. So now what we're looking to do is accept a payment when it's issued, and then if there is a situation where it goes 90 days without being cleared, then they submit a supplemental to refund those funds to us, right? But this way it's going to be a lot easier for our providers to submit their invoices timely, a lot easier for us to review them timely, and it'll just expedite the whole process.
So for enrollments for in-school youth for the quarter, they had 10 new enrollments, putting them at 41. And then they're also serving the carry-ins that they had that were enrolled previous program year, but they're still being served in 29. For placements, they had one placement, putting them at 9. And then they also had 5 participants that completed or had literacy numeracy games, so it could be anything from completing a class to post-testing, a little bit of everything. We do have quite a few youth that are attending school, so we do anticipate to see an increase there. Some of them completing high school diploma and or other occupational skills training that they're currently enrolled in. And then we had 4 WEX placements for the quarter as well. For the 17. Questions? Move on to slide 5. Out of school. Same thing for expenditures. Those are invoices reflected up through January that have been paid. So putting them at a year-to-date expenditure of $510,570.36, spending 31% of their budget. For new enrollments, they actually had 64 new enrollments for the quarter, putting them at 182. And then they were also serving the 89 carry-ins that were enrolled previous year but had not been completed. For out of school, they did a little bit better this quarter, showing some progress. So they had 5 placements, putting them at 16. Attainment of degree or certificate, they were at 34 for the quarter, putting them at 49. And literacy numeracy gains 27 for the quarter, putting them at 84. Any questions on that one?
Yeah, the median earnings, that does that relate to the 5 placements?
That's to whoever had median earnings during that second quarter. no other questions, so we can move on to the STEPS program. And so for STEPS, current expenditures for the quarter were at $20,629. So remember that for this program, it's basically only staff salaries. The program participant wages are paid through the foundation, and so that is directly coming out of that budget, so it's not reflected on here. On here, we had 16 new enrollments for the quarter, putting them at 36, and then we had 12 new participants that started work readiness training, and then 9 participants placed in WEPS for the quarter, putting them at 16. So their goal is to serve 50 and provide as much up to 200 hours of work experience.
So I think if we talk through the performance, it's been pretty clear that we just have never been able to gain traction.
Right.
We always thought it was COVID, we thought we'd be coming out of it and gain some more traction, we just haven't. I mean, so the staff feel like there's a plan in place to get this righted, or are we just writing this out to the RFP at this point?
No, we feel that going into the new center come July is definitely going to help out service delivery. This is going to be the main program is going to be at the same center as all the other wheeler programs that we're offering. So instead of being kind of operating in a silo, it's going to be brought into a whole workforce system. We also have a South County location, which is going to be open up. We'll provide those in the updates of the locations. But I think adding these two new locations plus partnering with different programs which cater to you, so that way we get more individuals, you know, clients coming into the center. We do have a pretty good, we are optimistic about this next fiscal year. I know our service provider too is wrapping up their hiring to put themselves in a good position for the new program. Yeah. They did have a little uncertainty if we were going to withstand with them, so they kind of stopped hiring because they weren't sure. You know, it's hard to hire someone when you don't know if they're going to be going to have a job in 2 months. So they are wrapping up their hiring to put themselves in a good place for July.
Is there a tie?
Yes, we got a gathering from our last year, like marketing per se. But yes, we do. We actually, OCCS, like our parent organization, has a new admin team, which actually has like a basically kind of like a gaggle position where there's a couple dedicated staff who help us conduct outreach in addition to our other reference, right? So we have a social media management vendor, a contractor who's helping us with that from COVID. A lot of the sleeping, waiting on our board of supervisors to use that network and their reach to spread the word. So we're pretty excited once we get into these new facilities that we're going to be able to really spread the word about our programs. And I think that's the biggest challenge we have, right? Is a lot of people don't know what we're offering. We've got some great programs. It's just not well known out there. So we're really going to hit that hard this next year.
Like how would someone in school that needs these things? How do they find
you? Well, that's why we're like, you know, exactly. That's why we're going to lean on our network to hopefully reach out, because we're talking about television ads or regular.
So there's no partnerships with the high schools or the, we used to call them continuation schools? Or...
To an extent, there is. Yeah. I mean, we obviously we communicate through that, but it's, but there's an opportunity, you're right, there is an opportunity for us to have a broader reach and to really make sure that we're reaching the.
Yeah, South County used to have J. Sarah or Sarah School, it was kind of kids that were dropping out, were sent there, at least get a GED.
Yeah.
That's because, I know somebody in high school is not going to wander to a one stop.
No, and that's, and this is where
we barely wandered to school.
No, and you're right. And this is where we're trying to bring some programs in which kind of cater to you. Like whether it's like we're looking to get like a 3D printer vendor who's going to teach people how to use these machines, teach them how to use Garmin printers. So it's not every youth is going to take the same path. Right? So we're going to be entrepreneurs. We're going to try and take it to them to utilize the virtual reality headsets, right? Like technology, bring them into our sectors to try and have that draw, right? Have something that's going to bring them through the doors.
item number B and number six or summer training?
That was a step.
Okay, got it. So we'll move on to number seven, youth program staff updates.
For Youth with Impact, we didn't have a session last quarter. They did inform us that unfortunately they cannot do a separate group just for our youth. They were actually doing a separate cohort. They typically tailor just to high school girls or females. And so they did offer for us to go ahead and send some of our youth into their existing program because the number that we were sending was a little bit small for the work that needed to be put in. And they are also in transfer time. So the timing and stuff is a little bit of an issue there. But we are working with BioLink and there are so some community college courses that offer this as well. For 2110C, they had been placed on hold for their request. They had some staffing issues and were realigning things. But as of last quarter, that opportunity opened up again. We screened participants and we actually had one new prepping or interviewing that actually started during fourth quarter. They're placed right there. And so they offer teleworking opportunities where they work anywhere from 15 to 30 hours a week. Basically providing customer service and providing assistance with any services that the callers may have. Great opportunity. For financial literacy, we actually had 53 youth that participated in that, and we typically partner with a bank where they do 5 weeks of anything from banking, the difference between the different types of accounts. They do basically just a little bit of financial literacy, how to budget your money, how to really anticipate whether a loan that you're offered for a student loan is a better option and different things. We actually partner with the Orange County Credit Union and with Union Bank. Now, actually partnered with USA. So they come out to our centers and offer both in person or virtual services for our STEPS program. Our staff, our service providers, actually working to identify those youth that may be in need of additional services from what the STEPS funded program can provide them. To go enrollment to our Ready 7C program. They've been working with them to increase the hours of work readiness and also class. Remember, STEPS is for in-school youth with special needs. And so always looking for different ways to expand the service. So we anticipate seeing a lot more full enrollments from that program as well into our Ready Centers. For Justice Involved Youth, we actually started in-person services at YGC, where we provide 12 weeks of career exploration and soft skills training for them, utilizing our VR headsets. And that program has been a success. We had been planning to launch that for a while. It just took a little bit longer because of COVID and stuff. That's gone really well. They actually approached us to also expand services, hopefully during this fourth quarter, over to YLA as well. And then we also do virtual orientations for them, for juvenile hall and YLA, once a month on the first month.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions?
Location update, pretty much we are still providing services both in person and virtually at all of our facilities, Orangewood, Manchester Office Building, Garden Grove, La Habra, and then also at the Los Alamitos base. We actually partner with California Job Challenge and do a lot of programming there for their residential program participants. So Francis will provide an update on for you.
Yeah, so for our comprehensive center, so Garden Grove, we will be closing to all services come June 16th, Friday, June 16th, because we need to vacate that building by June 30th. The Laguna Niguel location is on Cabot Road. So it's kind of Crown Valley Parkway. It's like right there. It's like Costco. It's kind of right by that Costco. It's kind of taps into some great communities down there, like the El Toro community. So That location will be officially opening to the public to new clients come July 5th. We will have a soft opening the 2 weeks prior where we'll be servicing existing clients and making sure that the sensor's up and running. Anytime we've got a new sensor, we want to make sure we have that soft opening to make sure it's working as intended before we open the doors to everyone. Mm-hmm. As far as the Braille locations, that's it's pretty desperate. It's on Placentia Avenue. It's right off basically Imperial Highway, 901 Freeway. So it's very close proximity to the Braille Mall. And that location will also be opening to the public come July 5th. We will have a soft opening as well, probably about the week prior. That timeline's still being identified. It's a much larger scope project. And there's a lot of variables, you know, when it comes to everything involved there. But we will be open both locations come July 5th. So we'll have a slight break there where we don't have a comprehensive center of the garden growth closed or something where it opens, but it should be very minimal. And our case managers will still be able to service clients in the soft opening phase or virtually during this time. We just won't be accepting new clients until July.
Will the garden growth location still open on July 5th or officially?
The Garden Grove location will be officially closed twice, June 16th. Okay. And I'll end it there. Yeah.
All right, move to the regional initiatives.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Annette Kelly Whittle with the Orange Workforce Alliance, formerly Orange Regional Planning Unit. I'm your regional organizer. So just to start off, we have submitted the regional and local plan to the state of California, minus the signatures, which we need to get to the state by June 30th. It is currently making its rounds through the local boards, Santa Ana and Anaheim, as well as their city councils, and then it will go to the Board of Supervisors on May 23rd. For final sign-off, we'll get signatures then and get that up to the state before the June 30th cutoff date. So it is available on the websites, on OC's website, as well as the Orange Workforce Alliance website, if you want to read it. There's some good information on just how we're going to move the region forward on a regional basis, as well as the local plan. It's a unified local plan with all three workforce development boards. That kind of operationalize what they're doing at the local levels. And so our next thing is our Orange Regional Planning Unit regional board meetings. We have tentatively scheduled July 19th for all three workforce development boards to get together, as well as January 24th. As you know, if you've attended them, David Schinder has been the facilitator of those meetings. We last left off on kind of crafting that vision and mission statement and our core values. So we will continue that work and continue with our kind of strategies going forward for the region. One of the things I've met with all three Workforce Development Board directors before Carmen left, we had kind of a strategic planning meeting with myself as well as David Schinder on just some of the items that we are going to kind of tackle for this year as it's moving fast here. So one of them is that we are thinking about doing an industry week as a way to engage in our industry sector conversations. So as you may know, it's been very difficult to kind of have individual meetings quarterly with businesses and get their attention when not only are we doing it, but you have K-12 trying to engage businesses, you have community colleges trying to engage businesses. We have been on an effort to try to really kind of bring that together. So we are still working on that and kind of really trying to come together in a way that makes sense for the business, that we all are still gaining that industry intelligence, but not taking up businesses' time as much, right? Plus, kind of reaching out to more businesses. So sometimes we see that we have one business that gets involved into workforce development, and we might have saw them at another meeting, but then we all kind of pounce on them, right? Because it's like, oh, let's go after that one, you know, because we see them, we know they're there, but part of what we need to do is really just get out into community, identify more businesses, get the word out about the services. And so as each one of the workforce development boards kind of strengthen their business services, we can do more of that. Anaheim just hired 3 new business services reps. So, and then Orange County is similarly, you know, beefing up that department as well. So looking forward to kind of doing that. But on Industry Week, the idea would be for all 4 industry sectors, which is manufacturing, retail, hospitality, tourism, and healthcare and information technologies, that we have a day where we are trying to bring businesses together in partnership with some of our ecosystem partners, like our community colleges and our K-12, to kind of have those conversations with them to gain that business intelligent information and then kind of act on it from that point. So a little bit different model. You know, we're responsible for working with businesses. It's not prescriptive as to how we do that, but we do need to find some creative ways to make sure that we're engaging businesses and also being sensitive of their time. So our regional grants that we have right now, we have the Regional Equity and Recovery Program, which is a new regional program. We always have regional funding. In this case, this particular funding is coming from the California's general fund. It's not Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act funding. We received $1.3 million. And in this particular grant, we had to partner with our community colleges. So in partnership with community colleges, we submitted an application that included projects from 4 community colleges. So we're working with Coastline, North Orange County Community Continuing Education, Santa Ana, and Saddleback. So each one of them has one program. They also each received $140,276 from a pot of money from the chancellor's office. So it was combined funding. We had state funding and then chancellor's office put in funding for the community colleges. The target is to serve English language learners, immigrants, veterans, and first generation college students. And we do have direct services in this. So usually our regional programs do not have direct services. It's really about system alignment, engaging partners. And so this one, we will serve 137 individuals as a part of this funding. We have one program that's already we're in conversation about, which is the medical lab technician program with a Saddleback College. Their project is already on the ITRAIN/eligible training provider list for the state of California. And so with that program, it's 2 years extensive. We are in conversations about how can we tailor that program for the target population, right? So it's not that they go enroll and they do semester by semester like a traditional student may do, but can we cohort it? Can we do stackable credentials? So phlebotomy is a part of this, right? Can we do phlebotomy first? They get a credential in phlebotomy. They are able to obtain employment that sustains them through a 2-year program. Can we shorten it in a 2-year if we cohort them and get them through faster? So these are some of the conversations we are having with them. Trying not to be business as usual, right? A lot of times when we talk about serving specialized populations, we tend to do outreach to specialized populations, but we serve them in the same way, right? So it's really about how do we help them get through a program and tailoring those services to meet their needs, along with the support services that go along with that to support them. Our regional planning implementation 5.0 money, that is our typical regional funding. And let me back up to the RERP. That is going before the Board of Supervisors May 23rd to accept the funding. So probably won't get really going until June 1st as far as the funding is concerned. And then the regional planning implementation funding, that's our normal funding. We're on, it started with Slingshot. We're on version 5.0. We received 131,000. That money is less than we normally get because we got 1.3 in the RERP. So we usually get about 375,000 for the regional funds. So on that one, basically that'll be more of the system alignment work that we're gonna do in our outreach to our partners and our industry sector engagement work. The community economic and resilience funding. So that money did go to Orange County Business Council. I am participating in those meetings, and so far, so good. I think that California Ford is pretty much leading the meetings, which they were very instrumental in actually bringing that legislation to the state of California and getting that passed through and this money to the areas. So right now they are doing a lot of level setting, providing information on labor market information, climate action information, educational information. So they have tapped into a number of data sources, such as Mapping Black California, who's doing a lot of work across the state of California. SCAG has done a lot of economic work in this region. And so they are tapping into different data sources and trying to get to a more granular level of information. So if you have not seen some of that information, I can definitely send that out as an update to everyone. But if you have, I won't do that. But there's some good info in that for planning and so forth. So right now it's that level setting, making sure that everybody kind of has a good grasp on what's going on in the region. And then they will do their table setting to where they're going to break out. So I'll participate in the workforce development tables that's going to be led by Goodwill, as well as local government table. So on the comprehensive economic development strategy, that also is just going to be expiring June 30th of 2025. So that is a study that is required in order to get economic development agency funding on the federal level. Without that plan, you're not able to draw down that money. However, I will say as a whole, Orange County doesn't qualify for that money anyway. There are pockets of Orange County that qualify. So there are certain census tracts. So unless, you know, particular cities are kind of targeting particular census tracts as a whole, we really can't take advantage of that money. So now during the pandemic time, they did open it up just because in state of emergencies, they do change the rules a little bit. But outside of that, it really does benefit more on the city levels at each one of those that maybe have those pockets of census tracts that are eligible, because they do look at like unemployment, income, and so forth as a whole. So that particular study, from what I understand, is it is in contracting right now. So we're going through the procurement process and contracts, correct? Francis?
To identify someone to write it for?
Yes. Yeah.
We'll
do the RFP. The RFP part. So that's where we are at on that. Any questions?
Good job.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to our fiscal oversight update.
So the grant matrix, and I've already kind of touched on the top couple, which is the regional, two regional grants. Next one down, we have the micro business grant. So that was almost $1 million grant. We have fully funded. We have about the last 20 or so businesses that were collected that were required documentation from. And we also do have like a waiting list. So if anything happens where someone's not able to provide their required documentation, we have a backup there for that one. $3.675 million to our community in $2,500 grants. So that was, you know, a great program, a very successful program. We were at, compared with other areas, we were able to fully spend ours. We did even ask the governor's office for the additional funding, but fortunately, they weren't allowed to provide it to us. But it was a great successful program. Our business solutions call center team did a great job. The day-to-day administration to get these payments out to these businesses. Next one there, the careers grant. It's a national disability worker grant. We're in discussion currently with the Department of Labor to see if we can get an additional 12-month extension to continue this program, as well as get some expenses allowable. If not, then we'll be returning the funds. If we do return the funds, we'll still provide these services. We'll just do it with our regular wheel of funding. We had some challenges as far as the upside of that grant. We basically started to get behind, so trying to see if we can get that extension and get some of the procurements allowed, which will allow us to be successful in the grant. If we're not successful, we'll just so this is like our regular meal. Steps. Maggie talked on that program earlier. It's running. We're running through the end of this fiscal year. And the Prison to Employment Initiative. That's like a regional initiative. Santa Ana is the lead for that program. They're actually going to be releasing an RFP to identify the service provider is. It's a new program. It just started December.
They just got the contract. Yeah.
But so they're going to identify who the service provider is going to be in contract and have a regional effort there.
Questions? No. All right. Summary of expenditures.
Yes, I don't know how detailed you like us to go there because it's a lot of pages.
A lot of numbers.
What I'd like to offer is maybe if it's something you're interested in and you want to review with any questions, I'm more than happy to maybe do a sidebar and discuss rather than going through the next 50 or so pages line by line.
Maybe just give us the 30,000.
Maybe if we do this, if we go page like 11, we kind of talk about our formula funding, which is on board funding, just so you can kind of see. So this is our, the way our wheel funded works, it kind of comes in two rounds. This is the first round of funding that we received. And go to page 13, please. So you can kind of see the first round of funding we received, the youth, we've got about $4 million. The dislocated work, we've got about $1 million. The adult, we've got about $700,000. And for our dislocated work, rapid response, that conversion programs with about 75,000 in the first round. We'll probably get a second round too. We're looking at, we'll probably be about 10 million in funding once the two rounds are combined. This is what we're running our core program now.
How does that compare to the previous fiscal year? So are we looking in total, or are we looking?
It's comparable, it's down like a small amount, but it's very similar to what we had in the last cycle. It's hard to know what we're going to get around to. Like, it just tells. We don't apply for it. We don't really get any indication until we get this notification.
Is that formula driven or?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. To an extent, I'm not sure exactly how much each workforce area gets, but historically, we've been around $10-11 million. Going beyond that, starting on page 18 is where we have the expenditure reports. These are broken down by month for the quarters. Maybe want to skip it online by line on these, but it'll basically show you the expenditures for each program. So you can look at where it says report period, it says year first, so it'll be 2023-01 would be January. And then if you look at the where it says the grant code number, the 540, that will tell you which program it is. So 540 is our rapid response.
Well, basically, these reports will tie to the, if we go to the youth committee programs, that's how that will tie. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you can look at the youth programs, which is.
Standing in non-federal sports Roman numeral four. Other reportable items
page 18.
Non-federal support standing. I'm just curious what that is.
Yeah, I'll have to get back to you in a second what the definition of that is. I'll let you know.
All right. Are these reports even accurate? Because we're 2 months behind in terms of even getting expenditures, correct? So they're not even really up to date.
Yeah, well they are subject to change, right? This additional expenditures here, but they are supposed to be both track.
I don't feel we need to go through these in any detail. I mean,
we kind of look at this, the purview of the youth committee is the youth grant. So
yeah.
Kind of look at that in its entirety.
I can say on the youth program, we're probably not going to really spend.
And so remember the grant funding is good for 2 years. So typically that's the money that we've been carrying it into the following year, and we have year to just spend whatever we didn't spend this year. So we typically don't give money back.
So generally the first year is the start time, rather small, right? So are there any grant that's kind of behind in terms of expenditure like that?
Any grants?
But we talked about, for example, like the steps, we're spending that then.
We're
currently
spending.
Yeah, probably the one grant that we're really not spending on is the career grant, because we have to tell people if those funds back or not, so we don't spend the funding.
Why is there consideration?
Because we won't be able to deliver on it, right? So we want to make sure that we can do our due diligence to deliver. Right? So we're not delivering. We don't want to take the money and then not deliver. So
OCWD financial reports in 331, is that kind of the same? Is that a different item than what you were just going over? Is that decided not to do January, February, and March, but this item right here? Financial reports 331, or is that what
it's basically the same thing? Yeah, so it's just a little bit more itemized.
Got it. Good. All right, moving on to item D, micro business COVID-19.
So can we go page 61, please, Monica? So this is kind of a summary of up to date the demographics of the awardees of the micro business grant. So you can kind of see the spread of various demographics. So this would be who received the funding basically in Orange County. Go to the next page, please, Monica. So we did have some which were outside of Orange County, where they basically they're providing that their business operates in Orange County to make their design.
So this is all Orange County.
They're all Orange County businesses.
I was wondering why some places don't have any.
Yeah. Okay. This is all Vermont budget. Yes. So next page.
We're going after 68.
Basically the high level summary of all of the demographics. Now, this is to date. We still have a final report to submit. So I'd say this is probably capturing about 90% of it. We'll have the final report out.
Okay. Good stuff. That's really good work. All right, EDD compliance audit updates.
Page 69, please. So no new update really here since the last meeting we had. We still have those ongoing audits from 2016 and 2017. Currently, we have our internal fiscal monitoring reviews being conducted by our contracts compliance monitoring team. And that's not going to use reports as well.
Questions on that? I guess in terms of compliance, Karma did in her leaving have a list of items that she felt like needed to be addressed. Is that going to be discussed at the full board meeting, kind of like where those things stand in terms of some thoughts or concerns she had? Is that how we'll plan to do that? Or
also, I think also
All right. Well, then I will call this meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.